results out today for the half year to end August from Calgro M3. Chief Executive Wikus Laterkgaan joins us. Because I guess the investors or traders or whoever it is who's playing in your shares didn't like the fact that revenues were down for the six-month period. When I read through the report, looks pretty solid. Were you surprised to see a 10% fall in the share price?
Yeah, well, look, I've realized over the years that our job is not to manage the share price. Our job is to manage company performance. And I think that's what we focus on. I think if I might touch on your revenue comment, yes, if you look at face value, revenue are down, but once you look at the contribution from joint ventures down the income statement, and you look at the comparable revenue we take, the revenue in the joint ventures up from 23 million down to 75 million. Now, remember, that's our South Hills projects, a joint venture of Standard Bank, where at the time it was a proposal call put out to the banks, and we're the 100% development partners, so we still do all the development work. And if you compare those numbers, we're actually only down 3.8% in revenue. But then if you look at the gross profit margin, you'll see that that's at the highest ever, 27% in developments, 57% in Moro Parks. And the revenue line now is really starting to benefit from historic land costs and infrastructure costs. As you might know, we never revalue any of our land or infrastructure cost. So it's still sitting at historic cost.
I guess the big difference from the last time that I engaged with Calgro M3 is you guys are now also in the memorial business, in the burials business. How did that come about?
Development business, by its true nature, is lumpy and cashless, although Calgro cash generation and revenue recognition is now very much aligned over the years through accounting policies. But it's also cyclical. The reality is that you're currently in an environment, and I just commented revenue, even in real numbers, are down 3.8%. The consumer is under pressure, and a lot more pressure, I think, than the market is keen to acknowledge. I had a question earlier today, what will the 25 basis point reduction in interest rate, which I said, did it pick up on sales? And I said, on a 600,000 rand home loan, that's 230 rand a month. It makes no difference. So what we were looking for, some more stable cash flow and a risk mitigator. And that's where Memorial Parks come in. Memorial Parks is a very cultural-driven business, especially in South Africa and Africa, like many places around the world, where people still want to bury. It's not a morbid thing like we have in a lot of cultures. It's actually a celebration of life. So once someone close to you pass away, you want to celebrate their lives. You want to bury them in a place where you can go back to, you, a serene, tranquil environment. And that's what Calgro M3 Memorial Parks bring. So you'll see that business now for the first time. We always set the target distance. It's like insurance company. The income statement recognition is slow and very complex. But cash generation, we said we want to find a level where it can cover the group as well as the full administrative expenses. And for the first time, it's there, even in a very constrained economic cycle. So I think that risk mitigating tool is starting to work. And where that will be very helpful is, yeah, although Calgro M3 developments, but net bottom line profit is at as high as ever, like the previous four reporting periods. There will be another time in the property cycle, even if it's 5, 6, even if it's 10 years from now, where there will be pressure. And then at least at that point, Calgro won't have to worry about administrative cost and how do we going to cover it, because it will be covered from a very stable Memorial Park income.
I know it's a small part of the business now, and you have just articulated that as well, but where exactly are these cemeteries that you're running?
Yeah, it's cemeteries. It's private cemeteries. Forwards, which is very well known to a lot of people. Then Nasrec, the parking grounds to the 2010 World Cup soccer. In the Katila and Springs, Bloemfontein Memorial Park. Many people will know it as the late Petrovsky has developed a lot of ash niches about 2 kilometers out of town on Nelson Mandela Drive. We bought that. We also bought all the adjacent property, about 26, 27 hectares. And that's now we've got burial rights, and that's where we bury. And then Durbanville in Cape Town. And then lastly, we're busy developing Rustenburg Memorial Park. So we call it Platinum City. So just outside of Rustenburg. And then as soon as that one is underway, we'll continue to expand that throughout the country.
It's an interesting business niche, and I guess not one that would immediately jump up for those of us outside of it. But would you, for instance, go to the Joburg Metro and say, we want to buy Westpark from you? Or would you always be looking for new areas that you can expand into?
Look, I think we prefer, so I think we've made quite a fairly niche over the years in development space that we don't tender for all the related reasons all the listeners can think of. We prefer to buy privately owned land, and if the need arises to partner with government afterwards, we'll do that. The same goes for memorial parks. We prefer to go and buy privately owned land that does not come with all sorts of governmental conditions, and then we can establish quite a nice niche. And yes, it takes a long time. Every new park you start up, the first few months are very slow. Even the first 18 to 24 months, it trickles in more and more, but it's slow. And only about after 3 years, if you look at Nasrec now, Nasrec has been in existence now, I think it's 5.5 years. And even if we switch off all marketing, and we've actually trialed it last year at some stage, before 60 days, we switch off all the marketing on Nasrec. And the sales didn't feel it because it now became a brand. People want to be buried there. So we believe that we'll rather go private.
Is it a little bit like in many other areas that you can bring the private sector's benefits to, say, a cemetery that is safe, that is maybe a more pleasant, better maintained, etc.? Is that your unique selling proposition?
I think security first and foremost. If you look at maintenance and security very much in public parks due to budget constraints, so we understand why. Then a tranquil. So if you, and again, use Nasrec as example, you've got, we formed it into hills. We've got a dam. We've got a man-made stream. We pump the water from walls between these different environments. Got a little island in the one dam which enhanced bird breeding. So at the moment, although it's almost right next to the N1, once you stand on a park, you've got a serene, tranquil feeling. You hear the birds. It gives you that quietness. People are longing to be able to, if a loved one passed away a year later, go and sit at the grave, be quiet, mourn, celebrate their life in a non-busy, unsafe place. And that's the model we bring to the table.
Did you pick it up from anywhere else in the world?
It actually, private memorial parks, there's a few in Africa. Then there's, if you go to the US, Europe, there's quite a few. China, there's a few, quite a few. I think most memorial parks today in China is privately owned. So there's a lot of world standards we could have looked at.
Fascinating. I know we spoke a little away from your main business, but it is an interesting area, and as you say, one that is going to be expanding into the future. On the development side, your average sale price, as you said a moment ago, is just over 600,000 Rand per house. Is that sector of the market, the lower end of the market, the ShopRite sector, if you like, the place where Capitec plays, is that still doing well?
It's still doing well. Listen, look, the consumer is also under pressure, and hence why the revenue is slightly down. What we're doing to counter that is, in roughly 6 weeks from now, maybe a bit less, at the end of November, we're launching a two-bedroom nano market from 499,000 Rand again. And for the first time ever, we're going to launch a one-bedroom for 399,000 Rand. Now, people say a family can't move into a one-bedroom, and I might be correct, but it's still better than an informal settlement. It's still better than a backyard shack. Or if you go to the areas like, and to use Hillbrow as example, those balconies are enclosed and rent out. Or you go into Randburg, Windsor, where someone buys a four-bedroom house, but there's three living rooms which are all converted into bedrooms, and seven families, each family rent a room, share one bathroom, one kitchen, and they still pay 3,500 or 4,000 Rand rent a month. So we're saying, yes, everyone wants to stay in a big house and a big stand, but not everyone can afford a big house and a big stand. And therefore, if we target the market, let's say from 399 or two-bedroom from 499, and you compound that with interest rates, we believe will. I said earlier in the interview, my heart is hoping for 50 basis points. My brain is telling me another 25 this year basis points, but at least hopefully for next year, another 50 basis points. two decreases, potentially even more. And then you get to combined 100 basis points decrease, which is close on 1,000 rand a month on a 600,000 rand bond. But if we then sell from just under 400,000 rand, I think we encapsulate a much broader market, lower LSMs. And that market, yes, there might also be pressure on the economic side or the consumer financial wealth well-being. But the reality is that they need a home and they're already paying rent of 3,500, 4,000 rand. And that's what we're capturing then.
It's presumably then those people who would move across into home ownership from renting. Correct. At the moment, especially if interest rates were to decline. But what's the demand like outside of lower interest rates making it more affordable?
So the demand is great. Look, we have to work hard for ourselves these days, but it's because the consumer is fairly indebted. But if we have show days, and you've now would have seen the numbers that we say this, it's 869 units transferred during the first 6 months. We made explicit statement that we've got 1,539 under construction, of which we expect a great part to transfer. And some of them, a lot, big part of it's already sold. So we expect to complete and transfer in the second 6 months. You can see that demand is definitely there and picking up. So we're confident that the market is brought. And if you go, maybe just to put a different spin on demand, if you go and stand on the corner of Khayelitsha, Cape Town, Diepsloot or Honeydew in Johannesburg, and you see how many people leave for formal job opportunities nicely dressed at between 4:30 and 5 a.m. in the morning, get on a taxi, drive 1.5, 2 hours to work, they don't deserve to stay in those conditions. And that's where we're making an impact, and that's proving the demand as well.
Now, from a simplistic perspective, having handed over, as you say, 869 houses and almost 1,600 are going to be handed over in the next 6 months, if you take a straight line, does that mean that your second half of your financial year is going to get double virtually the profits of the first half?
Look, I'm careful in commenting for forecasting, but I think what we're trying to indicate is that there will still be consistent growth on the first half, yes.
And what I'm trying to get to here is what is the profit flow? How does the profit flow go? When you hand over, is that when you get paid?
Handover is on registration in the deeds office when we get paid. So yes, there's a correlation between that.
All right. So you don't have to be a genius to work out if you're going to hand over a lot more units in the second half of the year, your second half numbers should be stronger than the first half.
I think if you even go back on Calgary's history, the second half's always stronger than the first half.
And then what about this deep discount of your share price to the net asset value? You said earlier that you bring in the assets or the land, you don't revalue that. Your NAV at over 14 rand a share and your share price at 660 today is a big difference between the two of them. Is there any way that you could narrow that?
So I think we've started to, so if you look over the last 3 years, we've bought back touching 26% of our equity at even like much lower prices than now. So I think that's starting to impact. So that's a way we can let our long-term shareholders benefit from the current discount. And we'll continue to have that as part of our strategy. And then just be careful that I've started the day by saying we've realized that it's our job to run the company as well as we can, and then the share price must follow. So we can't always eliminate the discount, but we can try and market what we're doing and how we're doing it and how the profit is flowing and how the cash is generated, because cash is more important than profits. How that flows through, saying that how we're going to grow up a new bank and fund development, how Memorial Parks is mitigating the cyclical risk of developments. And then if the market don't see it, acquire the shares back at discounted rates, which will enhance the long-term value of shareholders. And I believe that's what we're doing.
When you have a look at the OBAS of Omaha, Warren Buffett, he's got an intrinsic value at Berkshire Hathaway that he would buy his shares back at. And he says, I'm not going to tell you what the intrinsic value is, but Berkshire's has at times bought aggressively in the market. Are you in a similar mindset? Because sometimes if you know that something is worth 14 rand and it's being offered to you in the open market at 6 rand, then it doesn't take a lot of deduction to say that if we've got extra cash, we're going to put it in then. And some companies even borrow to do that. Have you got an intrinsic value, a kind of cap that you would buy below?
So the Obos of Omaha, look, he's got a slightly different business where his primary objective is investment, where our primary objective is running a company. And in running a company, you've got financial capital as well as human capital. And I've previously heard a statement where someone said, but almost shut the operation, just buy your shares back because it's more long-term accretive. And my immediate response to that would be, yes, but I'll lose my best people first because I have to stimulate them. They say, but what is it? Why do you care? Just build the team again. And I say, no, but then you're actually destroying long-term value from a revenue perspective as well as a cash flow and a profit perspective. So I think it's a balancing act between running a business and having a fair value where you believe the shares are undervalued and acquiring them back. And I think we've over the last, I made the comment earlier, 3 years, I actually just checked, over the last 24 months, we've bought back 26% of our stocks. So I think that's proving that we overlaying those strategies to say, let's consistently keep growing. I think I also made a statement earlier that it's our fourth consecutive best sets ever in terms of profit after tax numbers for the group. So we are achieving some business growth as well, but you'll see that the headline earnings per share as well as earnings per share actually benefited quite nicely from stock buybacks, share buybacks.
28% growth in headline earnings per share, not bad going at all. Vickers, just to close off with, Piet Viljoen and others like Andrew Vincent have been saying buy small, medium caps in South Africa. They are dirt cheap. Have you had much interest from institutional investors in your stock lately?
Yeah, so some of those names you just mentioned is in our stocks. They are shareholders. Remember, over the years, our founding members have mostly exited, where the five founding members originally owned roughly half the stocks. I think that today owned about 15% of the stock, even post a share buyback. And then we've got some of the more famous or the more familiar fund names in the share. So yes, we're finding more and more interest. I think we went through a phase, especially COVID or post-COVID, where not only us, but lots of large stock or large market cap companies have also had a very deep discount to their NAV. Some of them still have interest. And that was more attractive because liquidity was better than in us, for instance, in a Calgro, whereby now Calgro is more discounted than them, and there's definitely interest from institutional as well as retail shareholders.
Because Radovan is the chief executive of Calgro M3, and I'm Alec Hogg from biznews.com.